Despite what he would believe, Satan has no power. Despite what he would try to persuade us to think, Satan has no power. And I'm here to remind all of us in the deepest depths of our hearts, when we get weary and weak in a situation, you just remind yourself that Satan has no power. Hallelujah. Because when you speak the name of Jesus, he causes mountains to be moved. When you speak the name of Jesus, it causes things to begin to line up. When you speak the name of Jesus, it causes order to be restored in the house of God. When you speak the name of Jesus, every form of darkness that would come to attack you cannot prosper. Amen. I like the sight of this. If I knew it wouldn't wear you out, I'd have you stand all night and preach with me. Then maybe you know how tired that a preacher can get. If you're glad to be in the house of God, look over at somebody and say, I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here.
Look over, shake their hand and say, praise God for you.
Praise God.
Oh, I feel his presence moving in this place. Glory to God. You may be seated if you want to, but if not, I'm cool with that too. God is moved, certainly moved, and he will bless to whom who follow him. Before we get into this, I just want to say we're so thankful for all of our friends, guests, visitors, people who have drove a long way to get here. God bless you for coming, and I know he'll bless you for your efforts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God, we know that you're above everything that the world would bring against us. God, we believe, Lord, that you're anointing this hour, this moment. God, touching things that we don't even see or perceive that you are moving in, God, and we praise you for it. Somebody needs to receive that right now. Lord, I receive what I can't even perceive is coming. Lord, I receive the things I can't even view with my eyes. Lord, I believe it, God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. If you have a Bible tonight, we'll go as far as the Lord wants to go. How about that? Matthew chapter 9. If you don't have a Bible, we have some out there. And if you prefer to be read to, I will be happy to read it to you. Thank you, Jesus. This week has been one of those trying weeks in my life for a lot of things that I've had going on, things that I've had to do, things I've had to do at my job. The enemy has tried every which way to try to get me scattered and wavered. But just like we were preaching Friday night, I've put myself out there. I've obeyed him. And I'm just in my season of waiting. And I can't wait to get there. So while I wait, I'm still here. While I'm waiting, I'm still going to praise him. And I thank him for that tonight. Let's read the book of Matthew chapter 9. We're going to read verse 27 through 31. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their right, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. Oh, somebody ought to say that tonight. Somebody say their eyes were open. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it, but they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. I realize just by praying for this place that we are pushing and charging towards his will. And I also realize that by doing that and being obedient, that it costs us something. Now I realize it costs us our time to be here. And it costs our energy to be here. It costs forsaking other things to be able to be here. And I'm here to tell you that if you give up enough in your life, you'll begin to feel empty about the things that you feel like you should have. But in those moments and opportunities where we let God have a chance, it opens up an opportunity. And say this word with me tonight, for a miracle. Some of us may not have even known why we have came into this place tonight, but God had put this in my spirit to give unto you. And I know you hear me all the time, and you may be tired of me, but I'm glad to know that God has never grown tired of an obedient vessel. I'm here to tell you tonight that, friends, we can still see miracles. Friends, we can still see the hand of God deliver those that are in bondage to drugs. We can still see those that are alcoholics be delivered completely and transformed transformed. Friends, I'm here to tell you those that are demon-possessed and don't even know it can be delivered. I'm here to tell you tonight right now that God is not through performing miracles in this generation, but we've got to begin and create an atmosphere that he can begin to dwell and be proven mighty. You've got to create an environment to where the Lord can move. You've got to create a personal life that God can bless you with. And if we will do those things, we'll begin to see miracles and signs and wonders follow us. I don't want when people see me walking down the road to only see what I'm upset about. I want them to see the byproduct of a miracle. What about you? I want them to see something good behind me instead of a past that I regret. I want them to see something good going on in my life that would cause them to be inspired. You want to do good things for somebody? Begin to create an environment that when they come into your presence, that they begin to feel the presence of God. The greatest miracles that I have ever experienced in a moment that I wasn't even asking for it was when I came into an environment where God was fluent, he was ready, and the people were willing to serve him in love. And the moment that I stepped into that kind of love, my drugs were gone. It didn't require us to have church for 3 hours, for the choir to sing for 4 hours. It just required an environment where the Holy Spirit could take hold and take control. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what God has put in my spirit. Maybe some of us wonder what we define a miracle as. A surprising, and this is what the world defines a miracle as, a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable or explainable by natural or scientific laws and therefore is considered to be the work of a divine agency. I'm here to admit, as number one in line, that I'm slowly beginning to learn what the purpose of a miracle is for me. A miracle is not just when your bill gets paid. A miracle is not just when you feel healing, but it does something beyond what blesses in the natural. Can I share this with you tonight? Miracles are not to brag or boast about. They are to humble you by the fact that without God, we cannot do anything. Miracles are not for us to forget, but for us to remember that there is a God that loves us. And while miracles surprise us naturally on earth, here's the news flash. They're very commonplace in the supernatural. What might seem like a random, uncommon occurrence down here, in as we pray and know the will of God, it's very commonplace for good things to begin to happen. The more that you let a church house be enveloped by the almighty glory of God, the only thing that can happen is a good thing. He said every good thing, it was a gift from God. And if you're surrounded by good things, you know you're well on your way to things that are better than what you've ever known. Miracles do not happen for history to continue and repeat itself. It means we've got to learn from what God blesses us with. They come for us to learn and be thankful for our newfound knowledge that we would have otherwise lacked without God. This is something that God put in my spirit. There are some things that we have to begin to create in our environment that allows a miracle to begin to be possible. We know that he is the master of the impossible. We know that God's able to do it. But we've got to create an environment that when you see somebody that it says about you, I know that God can do it, and I know that it's possible. The first thing you've got to have in your environment for a miracle to begin to come to pass is the Godhead. If God is not first and foremost in every decision of your life, in everything that you're doing, saying, and participating in, if it does not reflect the will of God in your life, then we've got something that needs to begin to change. First and foremost, look over somebody and say, it's the first thing we got to do. First and foremost is what we have to have the presence of God in our life. We've got to have an acknowledgement that God is real, that God sees everything we do. We've got to have an acknowledgement that there is an anointing and a spirit that can teach us. And we've got to acknowledge that there's a Savior that was Jesus Christ that loved us enough to save us from all of our mistakes and our sin, that we can stand as redeemed. Without this knowledge, we can do everything else that it says we're supposed to do, and it doesn't mean anything, because without Jesus Christ, we have no right hand to God, and with no right hand to God, you know what we're doing? We're just making noise. I don't want to make noise. I want to make a difference. Oh, I feel his presence. He came, as we read this scripture, into the presence of people that could not even behold him. But what kind of faith that they had to not even see the one who asked if he was able, for them to be able just to hear him and say, I know that you are. Friends, it is not in what you see, and what you see will betray you, but in that which God will speak to you, it can cause you to begin to acknowledge that he's more than able to do it, if we would only but cultivate the almighty presence of God that begins to move when he begins to try and change our minds, to turn our hearts in a different direction. If we would only but take 5 seconds of praying in the Spirit over 5 minutes of doing it our way, we would go over mountains instead of just being able to go over a little bit of a rock in front of us. I want you to take 20 seconds, get real, and pray in the Spirit right now. Father, I believe that you're moving. I believe, God, that you're able. I rebuke the presence of the devil. He is a liar and the author of it. You did not give us the spirit of confusion, but of power and of sound mind. He said you'd build up your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to be praying right now that my faith be ready for Monday. Somebody ought to be praying right now that I'll be ready for what is in store in my life. Oh, I feel how it's so hard for us at times to get past how we feel, to get past what's on our mind, to get past what's causing us to be hindered. But if you will just be willing to give God a chance, just shut your eyes for a moment. And could you trust in someone that you had never seen? But if you knew that they had the power to help you, it wouldn't matter what they looked like, would it? It wouldn't mean a thing for what it looked like. So that's it. I'm here telling somebody, it doesn't matter what the service looks like, but if you know that God is able, if you'll just yield and give him a chance to be first in the moment that you're sitting in, that means that we might have to get up and raise our hands to give him glory. But if that shows him as first, honey, you're on your way to something better. If we can get past ourselves for a little bit of time, then God can have his perfect and great will over all of our situations. A welcoming environment for the Godhead. Something that says when we honor him that we want you here. What are we doing in our own life? When you go home, what are we doing that says, Lord, I want you here? What are we doing around our surroundings that says, greater than any word you could say, that God, I need you right here, right now. If we're spending other times and doing other things and don't give God an opportunity for him to shine even in our own home, then why would we ever expect to have a good time when we come into the house of God? Because if you're waiting to come in here and get it figured out, then you've got this formula backwards. He wanted to have a personal relationship with you, that when we came in here that we would accomplish the purpose of the gospel instead of wasting our time trying to figure out what God wants to do. We can go home and figure it out on our own, and when we get in here, we'll be in one mind and one accord and not scattered abroad. I know that you can recognize when something is out of order, but church, what are you willing to do to pay the price that when it comes, you'll be ready? So the first thing we've got to have is an inviting, welcoming experience for God to dwell. That means good attitude, positive attitude, a loving heart. One that is ready to fellowship with one another. People that will reach out and help one another in our times of need. The second thing that God put in my spirit was that we have to have a recognizing of needs beyond our control. Read in Luke chapter 8, verse 43 tonight. And it says, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, who touched me? And when everyone else denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that the virtue has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole, and go in peace. The Spirit gave me this. The virtue going out from Christ shows that through our advocate of Christ, that our faith is enough to cause miracles to come to pass, but only but be faithful. Our faith is enough. Our faith is enough. That means if we have unused faith, then we're not doing enough. He didn't mean that you'd have to be physically able all the time to do what is demanded by God. He simply said to be faithful. He simply said to be faithful. If we could come in and show ourselves faithful, then we would not be wavering in our presentation. We would not be wavering in the way that the Spirit would move. We'd be consistent enough to allow miracles to begin to be brewing in the midst. If we're on again, off again, don't be looking for miracles. If we're on again, off again, don't be looking for signs and wonders. If we're on again, off again kind of people, then we're going to get on again, off again blessings. One day you're going to have what you need, the next day it's not going to be there. The next day you're going to be in a good mood, and the next day you're going to be tore all to pieces. I'm trying to get a hold of your attention right now, because the day is going to come where on again, off again is no longer going to be something that will sustain you. You've got to be all in, honey. You've got to be all in, because the day will come where on again, off again is not going to sustain you. I used to be on again, off again, but I found that when my faith wavered, so did the way that God would move to prosper and to bless. Not even in my life, I'm talking about in my church. When I am wavering in my faith, the progress of the church is directly reflected. You want to know why? Because the things that I should have been doing in a time when I should have been faithful did not happen. And when that thing did not happen, somebody went out less blessed than they should have been. And when I went back to go about my way, I had to deal with being in a low place, because I had to pay for the fact that I neglected someone's blessing as a result of not doing what God has called me to do. You might not think that obedience is directly related to a blessing, but I'm here to tell you that obedience is directly connected to a blessing. There was a woman that we just read about that had an issue that no man could control. No man could fix it. They couldn't give any medication to do it. There wasn't any therapy that could be provided. But she came across hearing about somebody by the name of Jesus, and her faith began to come alive. And I'm here to tell somebody, unless you know what your real need is to God, you're not going to have the kind of faith to push through to get a hold of something that'll cause the virtue to begin to enter into you. What are you talking about, preacher? If you're not going to change the way you talk, you're never going to go after the garment for a better way of talking. If you're not going to change the way that you act, you're never going to go and pray, Lord, forgive me for the things that I've been doing. I'm here to tell you right now that your miracle is directly related to how much you'll be faithful, and even in a time when it is hard for you. Well, we'll just call our evangelist buddy and we'll get them in here. They'll speak great things over us. Few weeks time, we'll feel great. Then we'll get back out of the encouragement of our own establishment, and we get in some real situations, and then things happen that we're not proud of to talk about. We'll say things that we're not proud of to talk about. We'll do things that we wouldn't want anybody to ever see. And we get to such a low place that we begin to become bitter against God, instead of just simply realizing that these are issues that I cannot control on my own. Listen, if you think you're going to tame your own tongue, you're wrong, because there's going to be things that come that'll cause you to say things that you never would have said any other way. I'm here to tell you that the Spirit of God is there for you to help you push through the crowd, to help you get down on your knees and reach out to the garment. The people might be hindering you. The church might even be hindering you. But if you'll be faithful enough to know that God is able in spite of your situation, then you're going to be on your way to something good. Amen. And here's something else that I've realized in my few years of preaching. We're settling for less. We're settling for a little bit of good worship. We're settling for a little bit of good altar service. We're settling for a little bit of enjoying the Word of God. Can I go on? We're settling for a little bit of happiness in our daily life. And we're making it contingent on somebody else bringing us our happiness. If you can't be content with God alone, then you have not got a relationship that you need to have. If you can't be happy with God alone, then there's nothing in heaven and earth that could be given to you that'll cause you to be as happy as you could be if you let God be first. I know we all want to be blessed, and I know you want me to tell you that the blessings are on the way, but God can't give us any good thing until you're able to be ready to receive the good thing, until an environment is created for that to be received. He did not sit Adam and Eve into the world until it was formed that they would be blessed. He did not take the children of Israel out of bondage until a place was ready for them to go to. He did not cause them to go through anything without protection. He did not leave them alone, is what I'm telling you. You might feel like at times, just because you don't have something yet, or you don't see an open door yet, that this is something that you can look back up and say, God, you've not been moving. What's the deal? In our dissatisfaction, it creates disobedience. And as a result, I don't know if somebody's maybe not seen it this way before, but your discouragement for what you're not seeing is directly related to when you don't obey the Lord. I'm here week in and week out, and I go through things just like you do. And it's not always easy to get up and do this. But I'm proud to say that through it all, I've never been alone. You might leave and leave me behind, but I'm not alone. My ministry might get worse before it gets better, but I'm not alone. I'm here to tell you that God created where you are just as much as where you're going, but you've got to create something in you that when He looks into your temple, He can not only say, I have room to dwell, but I have room to overflow. It's not just to know the presence of God, but it's to be filled in Him, that those things that would get to you, that your overflow would trickle down on a situation and say, devil, you've got no power over my children, that overflow would cause you to have a different frame of mind. Oh, Luke 13, verse 10. I'm starting to feel Him now. Oh. And He was teaching, verse 10 of Luke chapter 13, and He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. Have you ever felt like that you couldn't even lift your own head up? Have you ever felt so low that you physically, mentally could not get back up again? I'm here to tell you that our bodies by design can get to a point where we can't get up. But this kind of infirmity was not a physical infirmity. This was something that was brought on by the devil. And I'm here to tell you that if you've ever felt so low that you can't get your head up, the best thing that I could recommend you do is to begin to pray that the Spirit of God can help you. He doesn't want us to be so low that we can only feel like that we can move God by our pity. He wants us to be strong enough to be able to bear a few things, that if we bear a few things, He said He'd give us dominion over much. Amen. Let's read on. And when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And He laid His hands on her, and immediately, say immediately, immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Oh, it's one thing to know and feel something good for somebody, but it's another thing to go after them and to tell them what God has told you to give to them. It doesn't mean anything for the Lord to tell me that they are healed, but if I reach out and tell somebody through obedience that they are healed, oh, what a difference it makes by faith to reach out and tell somebody what God has told you to tell them, because the only way we're ever going to change our mind and turn things around is if we'll obey the word that we hear. 18 years is a long time to have the enemy on you that long. And I fear to say, but I know I'm one of the only ones that'll dare to say, that we have Christians right now that are saved, just as saved as you are, but they are in a spiritual infirmity. They don't know which way to go. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. They know God, but they're so mixed up in everything else that the devil has dominion enough to try to speak to them and get them to turn another way. So what is once a sweet salvation gets tempted and lured into destruction. And here's why. Because the power that was loosed when he laid on of hands is different than the power of just speaking it only. Because there's something about matching your obedience with your speech. There's something about matching obeying God to what he tells you to do. If we could but only yield and do that, my miracle is on the way. You know why? Because I hear him. I'm willing to let him live in me. And I'm willing to do whatever he tells me to. And I might look foolish to you, but I feel his presence. And I know we're not alone.